what God hath willed, what God hath planned. Today, it's from Jonah and the account of Jonah. The first two verses of this book of Jonah read this way. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its great wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. Maybe you remember the story of Jonah. It's one of those children's stories that our Sunday school teachers loved to tell us when we were children and had the picture of the whale. Now, you know, it's translated the big fish now. Whale, big fish, whatever it was, but God prepared this. So Jonah was called to go to Nineveh to preach against the wickedness of this city of Nineveh. And he didn't want to do it. So he went and he got on a boat and headed the opposite direction toward Tarshish. And as he was on the boat, the seas came up. And it was a point at which people were, the other guys on the boat were saying, what's going on here? We're going to shipwreck. You know, we're going to lose the boat. We're going to all be drowned. And so they began to pray to each of their gods, and none of the gods responded. The sea was still heavy, and so they decided, you know, what's going on here? And they cast lots to see who it was that maybe was the cause of this. And the lot fell to Jonah. Well, Jonah wasn't even up on board at that point in time. Jonah was down in the hold of the ship, sound asleep. They went down, they woke him up, and they said, yo, what is this that's going on, Jonah? And the scripture says Jonah had already told them that he was running away from God's call. And so Jonah said to them, Jonah said to the ship mates, he said, I'm the reason for this. Just throw me overboard. And the scripture says that they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to be responsible for his death. And so they tried to row harder and tried to get to shore, but they couldn't. And so finally they threw him overboard. And at that point, the big fish that God prepared for him, you know, swallowed him. And he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And then the fish threw him up on dry land. And Jonah said, okay, I'll go to Nineveh and I'll preach what you have asked me to preach. And so Jonah did that. Now, that's the basics of the story. In my message this morning, as we come to the end of the message, I'm going to address some of Jonah's attitudes. Okay, but we're not going to start there. First of all, God hates evil and wickedness. One of the things we need to understand is that God is a holy God. God is a God who wants to see us live lives that are good lives, that are righteous lives, that follow after his truth. And God hates evil and wickedness. And Jonah was to go and preach against this town of Nineveh because of all of its wickedness. And so that's what God called him to. Now, we certainly understand that Nineveh wasn't the only time in the Bible where we hear about wickedness. Think of the time of Noah. When it became so wicked, so bad, when the world was so bad, when people were so evil, that God decided he needed to wipe everyone out. And, of course, we know he had Noah build the boat, and Noah and his family were saved, along with animals. But God wiped out the rest of the world, the people of the world, because it was so wicked. You know, think of Sodom and Gomorrah, and think of Lot, who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodom and Gomorrah was an evil, wicked city. And God said, I'm going to wipe this city out. And part of it was because of what they had done to a guest that had come into Lot's home. And didn't do to the guest, they did to his daughters, actually. The guest was safe in the home, but the daughters were treated horribly by the men of the town. And God said, I'm going to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. And I don't know if you recall, but Lot went to God and said, God, don't do this. This is my city. If there are just 50 righteous people, won't you save it? And there weren't 50. If there are just 20, won't you save it? There weren't 20. And he finally said, if there are just 10, won't you save this city? And God said, no, there aren't even 10. You take your family and you leave because I'm going to wipe out this city because it's so wicked. God hates wickedness and evil. Think of David's sin with Bathsheba and the reality that God's judgment on David and Bathsheba was that their child did not live. The little boy that was born to their sin, you know, did not live. Then I think of Jesus and his own teaching. Do you remember the time that Jesus got angry? There's one time in the Bible that Jesus, well, there's not one time, there are a couple times. But you remember the time that Jesus got angry, and what did he do? He was going to the temple where he was going to do some teaching. And yeah, and there were all of these people there, money changers they're called. They were people that were selling pigeons and animals for people to sacrifice. And they were taking advantage of the people who were coming to worship, and they were charging them exorbitant prices for these animals that they were going to sacrifice in their worship. And Jesus said, this is evil, this is bad. And Jesus whipped them out of there. He cleaned up the temple. And his anger at the wickedness of the people was seen there. And then, of course, we come to the book of Revelation, and we understand and know that, you know, there is a time coming when this world is going to be at a place similar to what it was in the time of Noah. It's going to be a time when God says, you know, no longer am I going to put up with this evil, this wickedness in our world. And it's going to come to an end. And God's going to bring judgment on our world. And then there will be a new heaven and a new earth. One of the things that I want to make note of here before we leave this truth of God's hate for wickedness and evil is this other side of God that brings salvation. God saved Noah and his family. You know, God didn't destroy David and Bathsheba. You know, God made David a man after his own heart. David responded to God. There's God's judgment. There's God's hatred of evil and wickedness. But then there's also this side of God that is the redeeming love, the salvation that comes from him. But we need to note, we need to understand, God hates evil and God hates wickedness. Second thing that we see here in this story of Jonah is that God calls people out to go and speak against wickedness and evil. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach against the evil that is there. And so God calls people out to preach against, to speak against the evil and the wickedness. Jonah went to Nineveh and he addressed that evil and he called the people to repentance. And how did the people respond? They responded positively, didn't they? They heard the message that Jonah brought, and they responded with sackcloth and ashes, and they repented of their evil. Now, in a little bit, we're going to talk about, you know, how Jonah felt about that. But Jonah went, and he preached the message in this large city. There were also the prophets of the Old Testament, and we remember numbers of them as they came and as God called them to speak out against the sin of Israel and to address those sins and to help Israel come to see and understand their sin and their wickedness and change their hearts and their lives. Even Jesus in his teaching, it's a teaching of love, a compassion. It's a teaching of salvation that Jesus brings, but it's a teaching that speaks out against wickedness. The reason you need this salvation is because of sin. And so the prophets, Jonah, were called to preach, and call people to repentance, people repented. Jesus did the same thing, and Jesus came as the one who would bring life and bring hope through his life. One of the things that that I have stood on and spoken of as I have dealt with my all this stuff that I'm not doing well with is this reality that Jesus shed his blood for my salvation, and because of his shed blood, that is life. And he gave his life so that I might have life. And I stand on that promise from Jesus. Then we come to Peter in chapter 2 of Acts. And I don't know if you remember, but Peter stood before the crowd and preached, and he called them to repentance. He called them to repentance. Why? He said, "This Jesus who you crucified is the Messiah. He is the Son of God." And the people heard that message and believed Peter when he said that. And the scripture doesn't say that everyone repented, but the scripture says that many understood and acknowledged and repented of the sin of destroying the life of Jesus. Now, we know that that had to happen for our salvation to come. But the Jews crucified their Messiah, their Savior. Then we come to Paul and his life. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, we read these words, "This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." Saul, on that road to Damascus, when God came and threw that light down that blinded him and spoke to him, God said, "Saul, you are going to be my voice to the Gentiles, bringing them the message of salvation." And then later we know that that name is changed to Paul. And that's indeed what Paul did. And we have numbers of his writings here that help us to understand what God wants for us in terms of our lives and our living. God calls you and me as well to be messengers, to be people who speak out for the sake of the gospel, for people to be speaking out against wickedness and evil. There's so much of that in our world, in our own nation, in our own community here. There are evils and there's wickedness that needs to be spoken against. We need to call people to repentance. I need to speak and preach a word, a truth, a message of the gospel that calls out this wickedness. You know, the wickedness and evil of racism, the wickedness and evil of making politicians idols. Folks, we need to repent. We need to say, "Lord God, we have done evil. We repent. We come. We ask forgiveness." The people of Nineveh did that. There were many who listened to Peter when Peter said, "You killed your Messiah, Jews." Americans, what are we doing? How are we responding to truth, to God? Do we need to repent? Maybe. Now, okay, come to this last piece. Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach repentance to this wicked and evil city. And Jonah said, "I don't want to do it." Do you know why he said, "I don't want to do it"? Do you remember? The reason that he said he didn't want to go is because I knew that they would repent. Did you get that? Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach against their wickedness because he said, I knew they would repent. What kind of an attitude is that? You know, this message of Jonah is a message for us. Am I willing to call out wickedness and evil and call people to repentance? Maybe because I'm afraid they won't hear it, or maybe I'm afraid that they'll do like has been happening to some of these Pentecostal prophets who prophesied that President Trump would be elected again. And he's not been elected. Margaret read to me some stuff off of Facebook about one of these prophetic Pentecostal preachers who asked forgiveness for getting it wrong. And he talks about all of the people who are cursing him now for repenting that he got it wrong. He's talking about all the death threats that he's gotten as a result of that inaccurate prophecy. Folks, this is happening here and now. God calls us to speak out against wickedness and evil. Those responses of people against that prophet, that Pentecostal preacher, that's evil. That's sin. You know, I'm not there. I don't understand all the prophetic stuff, but I believe that God has called those men and women to prophesy. Did they get it wrong? They did. Are they cursed? They shouldn't be. They're people who love the Lord. They're doing their best. They thought they were following. They thought they were hearing, but maybe they didn't. Well, they didn't. Christians are doing that to each other. That's sin, folks. That's evil. Jonah didn't want to go because he was afraid they'd repent. Well, and that's not the end of Jonah's stuff, okay? So Jonah, you know, Nineveh repented. Jonah went out and sat on beside the road to pout. Read the story. It's not a long story. Read it. Jonah went out and sat down beside the road to pout because he just didn't think it was right that God would allow them to repent and not wipe out Nineveh. Well, then guess what happened? There's this plant that grew up and gave Jonah shade. So Jonah was smiling. Jonah was feeling pretty good. He had this shade. God made a plant grow up. The next morning, a worm ate away at the roots of the plant, and the plant died. And guess what? Jonah got angry with God. Do you see a pattern here? Do I see a pattern here? In me? Dale, you're happy and everything's great when you're feeling good. You know, you got that plant giving you shade. You're able to go to the golf course when you want to. You're able to go to work when you want to. You're able to smile and preach when you want to. When you get sick, don't feel good. Do I get angry with God? Do I say, God, how can you do this to me? After all, I'm preaching repentance. Christians, we need to check our attitudes, don't we? We need to check ourselves. I need to check myself. I think I'm doing okay with that in terms of my attitude. But I have to confess, yo, Satan's trying to say, yo, he's trying to get in there and you'll give that jab, say, oh, guess what? And then I go and I look at Job and I think, man, my life's easy compared to Job. What was it that Job said? You know, in Job chapter 42, this is what Job said, verses 2 and 3. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is it that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You know, folks, that's it. I don't understand God's will. You know, this song that we sang and we're going to sing again, I am not skilled to understand. That's me. I'm not skilled to understand why the election went the way it did. But it did. And God's in that, folks. Scripture tells me that God places people in those positions of leadership for a reason and a purpose. No, I'm not skilled to understand. God is so beyond me and my understanding. What God wants me to do is obey Him with what He calls me to do. I'm here this morning. I felt awful this morning. Didn't feel good at all. You know, Margaret and I prayed together, and I knew God wanted me here. I got out of my chair even though I was feeling like, whoo, am I going to get there or not? Got in the shower and got out and didn't fall. Got dressed. I'm here. Guess what? God gave a fish. The power of God, the love of God comes to us, helps us in our time of need. I don't understand God's will and God's way, but I trust my God. My hope is in God and God alone. My hope is in a God who loves, has given salvation through Jesus Christ. My hope is in a God who hates evil. I hate evil too because evil's horrible. If we take time to talk about the evil in our world and how it has impacted our lives individually, each one of us could tell stories that are sad. God doesn't want that. God wants us to realize redemption and salvation and life and wholeness. God hates evil and wickedness. We're called to speak out against evil and wickedness. We're to show our trust and our faith in God by accepting the shade when it's there, and accepting the hot sun that scorches our head when the shade's not there. We're going to sing to close again. I am not skilled to understand, but I pray that all of us will exercise the faith that is ours to stand as best we can. Stand with me.